Hello and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Weekly Podcast. We're here to help you with the challenges we all face as homeowners. I'm Danny Lifford.
And I'm Joe Truini. And each week, Danny and I are here on the podcast to answer any and all home improvement questions.
And we want to hear from you. Send us your questions or comments at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. Today's Homeowner Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. This week, we help a homeowner that's having a big trouble with weeds taking over a large concrete paver patio. We'll tell them exactly what needs to be done. Okay, another situation. The wood deck is power washed. It's clean. Now what? To make sure that it looks good through the summer and the summers ahead. Speaking of summer, it's time for our summer checklist from our four seasons of home ownership. And also, we're going to give some tips on stripping paint from a concrete porch. A lot of outdoor projects, which just makes sense during this time of the year. Joe, what about a simple solution?
All right, Danny, I've got a way to convert an empty soda bottle into a lawn sprinkler.
All right, another good little recycling idea on that simple solution. Sounds good. Let's get started. Tammy's on the line. Tammy, welcome to the show. And I'm very intrigued by this picture and this patio that you have. Tell us all about it.
Yes. So my husband and I purchased our home back in 2016. And we didn't see at the time that this patio had a weed problem. But we do have a full irrigation system. With the water running every other night, I noticed into our first year of living here that weeds were starting to just crop up everywhere, and we couldn't put out any outside furniture. And then I quickly realized from hearing from our neighbors that the former owners placed down the bricks themselves. So then I realized that there was certain spacing in certain areas, and it is a very large patio floor. But in the last few years, I've had a challenge of just pulling those weeds myself. And I do have a dog that runs around, so obviously I don't want to use anything with any harsh chemicals. So I'm not sure if I should be replacing this entire patio floor, if I should remove all the weeds and then put a topper on it, or what to do.
Let us give you a few suggestions on that. First of all, this is a pretty large area. And if you were to get an estimate of what it would cost to put this type of patio in, you would not want to move it at all, because this is a very expensive area. But I can think of a few things to dress it up a little bit, maybe make it a little more welcoming. Well, when you mentioned the irrigation system, when it rains or when you're using your irrigation system, does any water ever settle on this patio, or is your drainage in pretty good shape?
My drainage is okay. I do notice that the patio floor does have some wet areas. You know, obviously when it rains, the weeds just grow like crazy. And yes, some of the water from the sprinklers does go over. I have a little half wall and it does reach the patio floor. So yes, it does get wet.
Yeah. Well, you may want to run your sprinkler system, your irrigation system manually, just to make sure that you're not regularly watering this area that needs no watering at all. You can't help the rain, but certainly you can, you know, steer that. So that would be one thing. And then battling the weeds, there's a number of ways that you can do that. You know, first of all, the area between all of the pavers, do you have concrete that's holding those together, or is it just butted up tight to one another?
I think it's the latter that you just mentioned.
Okay, so it's just kind of butted up, and maybe they use some sand at some time, which would be traditional to use. But, well, here's what I would do. I would, first of all, pressure wash this, and I would look at the rental center for a, Joe, what is that thing called? I never can think of it.
The round surface cleaner?
Surface cleaner, yes. Yeah. It's a round device at anywhere from 16 to 18 to 20 inches round. You hook a pressure washer to it, and then it has a concentrated effect to there, and you just walk along with that. Amazing how well it works, and you can go along this thing, and tell you the truth, it keeps you from getting so much of that, the water splattering up on you or the walls and that kind of thing. And you can get that really good and clean. Then come back and really go after after those weeds with a hand trowel or any way to get rid of all of the weeds and the grass that you have in there. Now you have a nice clean area. You have the weeds are gone finally. Then you want to come back with the polymeric sand. Joe, tell Tammy about the polymeric sand, because we mentioned this a lot, and boy, right. Is it ever easy to use and very effective in a situation like this.
Yeah, Tammy, people typically use just regular sand, which is fine, except polymeric sand has polymers in it, binders, that when it gets wet, when you sprinkle it with water after putting it between the pavers, it kind of hardens up. And that helps block, first it helps the sand stay in place, but also blocks weed growth from coming through. But backing up one step, I definitely agree with Danny. These are, first, it's a beautiful, mm-hmm. It doesn't look beautiful now because of all the weeds, but it's a beautiful patio. It would cost a fortune to put this in right now. Could you pull these all up and put something else down? Yeah, I guess you could and reuse these elsewhere. But I think I would first try to get rid of the weeds. You hear from people all the time, homeowners have this same problem, maybe not as intense a problem, maybe a smaller patio, but the weeds come through and you just have to deal with it. And you have to deal with it on a continuous basis. And certainly keeping your sprinklers from watering it every night or every other night is a start. But yeah, I think I would just pull up the weeds and just maintain it. Once you kill them, and you can kill them with vinegar, you can kill them with you can rent a propane torch that has a long handle, burn them out. I mean, there are a lot of ways to get rid of them. Clear it out. And you can buy it's called a weeding tool, and it's just a wooden handle, and it has like a hooked blade on mm-hmm. it. It's kind of hard to describe, but it's called a weeder, and you can fit that between and rake out all the weeds and then kill whatever's left with the torch or with white vinegar. I would use home and garden vinegar, which is a lot stronger, but I agree with Danny. I would clean this up. I mean, it's a relatively new home to you, so I would clean it up and get the most use you can out of this patio.
And Tammy, a couple other things there. As Joe mentioned, you know, if you don't want to do the manual work on all of this in terms of the weeds, then you have, you know, a lot of things. You can use boiling water. You can use the strong vinegar, as he mentioned. Or you might just put a temporary fence up, just something temporary, so that your dog won't get into it. And then use, you know, a vegetation elimination type of chemical and just knock it all out at one time. Still have a little bit of removal of the dead material. But anyway, here's the good news. Once you get that polymeric sand down, you've got a clean patio. Your polymeric sand has kind of locked in because you get a little moisture on it. It locks in and it stays there. And I'll tell you what, sweep it good, and I would apply a few coats of clear masonry sealer. You wouldn't believe how cool that surface will look and how the character will really come out in those stones if you put a few coats of this on. You can put it on with a pump-up sprayer, spray it out a little bit, maybe two or three coats, and that will help prevent the weeds.
Oh,
that'll help
okay.
prevent the discoloration, the mold, the mildew, and all of that. Absolutely beautiful. And one more little idea. You may even want to go in and pluck a few of these stones out to create some planting beds here and there. You may just want one feature tree right in the middle, or you may want a few little flower beds here and there, and that'll just kind of break up the expanse of the concrete, make it a little more cozy to hang out with.
Oh, that's a great idea. I never thought of that. And I just didn't know. I've gotten quotes anywhere from $20,000, $30,000 to replace the floor. I'm like, are there any other options? I've had a couple of local contractors tell me that, well, to get rid of the weeds, we'll just pour cement over this. You won't get any weeds.
No,
but I'm
no.
That, you know, just cement itself is like so bland and there's
right.
no paving stones. So I just am looking to, you know, cost effectively correct a problem and then enjoy the season. And I think the couple ideas. So first I got to pull the weeds and then put the polymeric sand, correct?
That's
Am
correct,
I following
yes.
the 1-2 step and then do the
sealer.
The sealer. Okay.
That's
so
correct.
Am I looking for a concrete sealer or?
It'd be a clear masonry sealer, which is basically a concrete sealer.
Clear masonry sealer. Okay.
Well, I think you have a great project to work with here. It can look amazing. Introducing a few plants there, whether you put them in the ground or a container, either way, it should look great. And Tammy, I'm glad we were able to help you and save you a little money and time on that. And best of luck on the project. And I know it'll turn out good. How about a picture after you get it all finished?
Well, I'll try. but it really is a lovely property. So thank you very much.
Hey, our pleasure. And if there's anything else you run into, you know what to do. Just give us a call here at Today's Homeowner Radio.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Danny. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, our pleasure, Tim.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. It's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. Now, if you have to delay your Saturday morning lawnmower so that you don't disturb the neighbors, well, maybe you need a quieter mower, like the Ryobi 40-volt HP Whisper Walk Mower. It's a multi-blade lawnmower that delivers the power of gas with cordless convenience. The brushless motor provides more power, longer runtime, and longer motor life than competing battery-powered mowers. And the all-wheel drive with Smart Trek technology matches the mower speed to your own pace. With a 70-minute runtime, it's ideal for yards up to 3/4 of an acre because the multi-blade system offers superior cutting performance for a longer runtime. Plus, because it's electric, it's whisper quiet, so you can mow as early as you want on Saturday mornings without a single complaint from your neighbors. So for more information on this Ryobi 40-volt HP Whisper Walk Mower, log on to HomeDepot.com. I have a Ryobi electric mower that I use in and around my yard and all. Boy,
right.
It's amazing how quiet it actually is. It takes you a while to get used to it because after a lifetime of using a gas mower, you keep waiting and said, something's wrong. Oh, no, it is. It's working.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to mess with oil and gas and create all those fumes. In fact, it's a perfect gift to buy your neighbor.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, great.
Keep
idea.
Him from cranking up the mower, right?
That's right. Exactly. Hey, let's get back to our Today's Homeowner Hotline right now. Valerie is on the line with us from Rhode Island. Valerie, welcome to the show, and what can we help you with?
Oh, thank you. I would like to find out the proper way to apply deck treatment after a deck has been power washed. I have it half done. And I just would like to do it myself.
Great.
And if I know how to do it properly, I think I can do it.
Good, good. Well, so the deck itself, has it ever had any kind of coating on it at all, any stain or paint?
Yes. When it was first built, it had a transparent type of color applied to it.
Okay. So is it clear or does it have a little bit of a color pigment to it?
The stain that went on had a little bit of pigment to it, like a little bit of an orange pigment.
Okay, all right. Well, most likely you have the pores of the wood opened up now since you have cleaned it well. It's a great time to look and make sure that all of the boards are in good shape, all of the handrails are nice and sturdy, and if anything needs any little bit of work to kind of shore it up a little bit, I would use long coated deck screws instead of nails to just tighten things up while you have it available there. Then Joe and I always recommend a semi-transparent stain. So you want to buy a good quality stain, go ahead and use the same color, or if you want to change the color up a little bit, the important phrase there is semi-transparent.
Mm-hmm.
A solid color stain pretty much like paint, and you really don't want to do that. But with a transparent stain, you're able to apply it. You still have the beauty of the grain of the wood shining through, but you're sealing up the pores of that wood to keep any of the mold and mildew and deterioration from happening. But I'll tell you, an easy way of doing it is use the pump-up sprayer. Make sure that tip is nice and clean and spray it on just a few boards. And then come back with get you a big 4-inch or 6-inch paintbrush and then work it into the grain of the wood. You want to kind of even it out, what we call back brushing. And then you put that, then do you a few more boards and continue that and allow it to dry. You'll be amazed at how consistent the color is. And also it's going to make that deck last a lot longer.
Okay, so you do have to spray it on. It's not something you apply with a long-handled applicator.
You can roll it on there, but it's still recommended that you back brush it. That back brush it, which really doesn't take that long or add too much to it, it just kind of forces it down in there, gets the consistency in there, and to ensure that you're really protecting the wood as much as possible. Joe, what do you think about clear sealer after the semi-transparent stain? Do you think Valerie would need any kind of clear sealer if she uses a good quality semi-transparent?
No, exactly, Valerie. If you buy a good quality semi-transparent stain, that will act as a sealer as well. And the reason that they recommend, by the way, the reason they recommend kind of scrubbing it in is not only to force it down into the pores of the wood, but also to remove any excess stain. So you want to really scrub it in and then wipe off, either whatever you're using, a long-handled tool with a pad on the bottom or just rugs, whatever, rags or whatever, and scrub off any excess stain. Because if you don't, it'll dry and it'll leave some of that pigment, the color, on the surface, and it could be sticky and that will peel off. So what you want to do is scrub off as much of the stain as you can. If it's too light in color, then you can wait for it to dry and put on a second coat to darken it up a little bit. But yeah, and I would let price be an indicator of quality. I mean, Behr's makes a great one at Home Depot. You can get Benjamin Moore makes one called Arbor Coat. Cabot's is another great line of products. So just make sure don't buy an inexpensive one. And I think you'll have a really successful looking deck at the end.
And how long does it take for it to dry?
Well, if it's in the direct sunlight and you scrub it all off, it could be dry to the touch within an hour or so. But read the label, because they may require you to, before applying a second coat or certainly walking on it, may require, an overnight time period, something like that.
So is it recommended to do two coats or?
No, only if you want to darken up the color. Usually
Okay.
one coat's plenty. The only reason I don't always recommend two coats is then people put on too much and then it doesn't dry and then you have a big sticky mess on your hands.
Okay.
All right. And you can always add a second coat, clean it off and add a second coat at any point next year, even,
I'd prefer not to, but
Good. Yeah. Just don't, whatever you do, don't put any hard coat on, no polyurethane or varnish or anything like that. Let it just be the
Oh,
stain.
no. I'm not fond of chemicals, so this would be
Good.
just fine.
Well, Valerie, we certainly admire your tenacity here to go after it like this. And what a perfect time of the year to get it ready. You'll be so proud of it as you entertain your friends and your family around there. So go after it. And if you run into any snags, you know what to do. Just give us a ring.
I will, and I will enjoy doing it.
All righty. Thank you very much, Valerie. Best of luck to you, and I hope you have great success on that project.
Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time for that checklist, that summer checklist from our Four Seasons of Home Ownership. Now, this is something Joe and I put together years ago, and this basically just is kind of a reminder. All four of the seasonal lists kind of work together, but during this time of the year, we're going to recommend a few things. Now, a few of these things you may go, wait a minute, what are we doing that for? Well, it's because it's a good time of the year to do it when people aren't busy. We'll get right on the top 10 list. And by the way, instead of writing this down, just simply go to todayshomeowner.com/4seasons, and that's the number four. And you can download all of these lists completely free, all the material lists. We've got videos on there. We've got everything you need. If there's something here that you're not quite familiar with, well, just go ahead and push a couple buttons there and watch a couple of videos, and you'll be able to do all of these. And as we also mentioned, we have 10 things on here, but not all of these things may apply to your particular house. So let's get started on the top 10 must do. Change that air conditioning and the heating system filter. So important to make sure that indoor air quality is what it should be, that your system is working as efficiently as it is. All of that's extremely important. And as we always say, use a better filter, one that's an electrostatic filter. You'll only have to change it every 3 months. That's a lot easier to do. What's next, Joe?
Well, next thing is talking about air conditioning. You want to flush out your air conditioner drain line, and you can put bleach in it and just twice, not a year, but twice in the summer, because of course that's when you're using it the most. So keep that line clear. And if it winds up being clogged up, there's a simple solution Danny and I have shared about using a shop vacuum to suck out any gunk that's clogging up that line.
Yeah, and if you want to see that, there is a great video online about that. That's amazing what it can do. It can save you a lot of money and a lot of trouble in potential repairs on that. Great thing to do. Also, this week we're talking a lot about deck repair and deck maintenance, and that's the third thing on our list, is to check for any loose railings or damage on your wood deck and make sure you repair it. If necessary, forget the nails, go straight with coated deck screws. It'll help you a lot more, and it'll make your summer gatherings a lot more safe.
And also take a look at your fences and gates. Make sure that any rotted wood you can replace or repair. The gates, you want to make sure they're not sagging and they're swinging freely and not digging into the lawn. And of course, if there's any damaged rails or horizontal rails, you want to fix those. And a lot of fencing parts can be replaced without taking down the whole fence. And of course, the posts themselves, you know, often they get blown over a little bit. So you want to straighten those up as much as you can. And if they're rotted badly at the bottom or been damaged by string trimmers, you can always replace the posts as well.
Of course, we all love to get out there and play around with our outdoor grill. But before you start getting real serious on any grilling, let's go ahead and thoroughly clean and inspect it to make sure it's safe. It's surprisingly easy to remove all of the grates and all of the burners and everything. Get it nice and clean. Make sure there's no holes in the bottom of that that could cause any kind of problem with fire.
And if you got outdoor deck furniture or patio furniture, great time of year to clean it. If it's metal, you can wash it down and sand it if you need to, sand off any rust spots and reprime it and repaint it. Any wooden furniture, you can clean with TSP, trisodium phosphate, and a little water, and then restain it or put a clear wood preservative on it because you want to make sure it doesn't suffer from any water damage.
Have your fireplace chimney professionally inspected and clean. Why in the world would you do it in the middle of the summer? Because they're available, readily available, because, you know, they're not as busy now, so you can probably get a better price and, you know, a little bit more attention can be, you know, fed into there. And then that way you got it clean, it's all done, and you're ready when winter rolls around.
Check the outside of your house, the siding, and any wood trim to make sure it's the paint is well adhered. If you see any blistering paint or what they call alligatoring, where it looks like the skin of an alligator, you want to scrape and sand that off. Be sure to wear a dust mask and eye goggles to protect yourself and clean off all that damaged paint, prime it, and repaint it.
Clean all your windows inside and out. Don't cringe when we say that. It's not that hard. Get one person inside, one person outside working on the same window. Might suggest using a little bit of regular white vinegar mixed with water. Newspapers are always great to use, or paper towels, and go ahead and get them nice and clean. But if one's on the inside, one's on the outside, that way it'll ensure that you don't miss any of the spots that might be on your windows.
And the last must-do chore is to tend to your gardens, pull any weeds, add mulch to gardens. Mulch does there are so many benefits to mulch. You know, not only does it prevent weeds from growing through, it deters them, but also holds moisture, so you might not need to water as much. So make sure your gardens and planting beds, flower beds, anything you're growing outside is taken care of.
And if you think about, wow, that was a lot of work that we just mentioned there. Really, when you break it all down, average situation, you're spending about 12 hours. You don't need to do it all in one day, of course. Split it up a little bit, make it a lot of fun, and you'll be doing the right thing to protect what might be your biggest investment, your home. Danny Lippert here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. A lot of calls, a lot of emails. We want to get right back to the hotline right now. Catherine is on from Arkansas. Catherine, welcome to the show, and tell us about this front porch and what's going on there at your house.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Joe.
So there.
We have lived in our house for about 5 years. We have a long front porch. It's concrete. It goes the whole length of the house, and it's about 4.5 feet wide. And it's painted with a white paint. And the paint is peeling. We've got some cracks in the porch. And we'd like to get the paint off and put a stain on that's a color that doesn't show all the dust from the gravel road. But we also want to do it in an environmentally sound way. We've got shrubs around the porch, and we have, you know, lots of wildlife where we live that pass through the yard. So we want to be safe the way that we do it.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, I admire that and appreciate that. fair amount of work ahead of you here, though, because you do have a lot of space to deal with, and of course with your handrails and your columns, you know, having to work around. I'm not sure if I wouldn't try some sanding on this, certainly on the steps. But I think I would try, and we'll get Joe's opinion on this as well, is to maybe rent a floor sander, and this is an orbital sander. Tell the people there at the rental place what you're sanding here, and because you're wanting to sand and remove the finish, you don't want to grind it like you would if it was uneven. So you get the right kind of paper, and you have to practice a little bit on that. Now you want to be careful because it can kind of get away from you, but kind of get in the open a little bit, maybe out there in front of those stairs. I'm looking at your pictures right now, and work with it a little bit, and I think you'll find that that's probably going to be the easiest way to get the bulk of the paint off. But then you're going to have to do a little bit of a little bit of elbow grease there on the areas that the sander won't get to. But I think that's going to do that. And that way you're not getting into the chemical strippers, which is another way to go. But if you want to stay away from that, Joe, what any other idea for Catherine here? Because this could turn out to be a fair amount of work.
Yeah, Catherine, I'm looking at the photographs as well, and it looks like a lot of work. And now you know why Danny and I don't recommend painting concrete. Because although soon as you put down the paint, it's like a beautiful surface, relatively easy to clean.
Right.
But then when it starts wearing off, it's like, okay, now what? You know, and it starts blistering, and if there's moisture coming through, it creates all kinds of problems. Any case, you could certainly sand it off. And a good thing about sanding is you can use like just a woodworking kind of sander to get into, you know, orbital sander or random orbit sander to get into some tighter places. If you're going to use a stripper of any sort, even if you're going to use it in some places, a few places, there are citrus-based strippers that are non-toxic. You have to read the labels to make sure the one you buy is safe around plants. But most of them are. They have like an orange acid, acidic acid in it. But there's another tool. If you're going to rent a tool, see if they rent a tool called a soda blaster. It's like a sand blaster, but it shoots, instead of sand, which is pretty abrasive, it shoots baking soda. And the great thing about that is it's just baking soda. So at the end of the day, you just rinse it off. If it gets on their lawn or your plant, you just, use a hose and it just goes right back into the surface. And it's almost impossible. I mean, if you went out of your way, I guess you could damage something with the soda blaster. But you really have to go way out of your way to try, because it's pretty, soda, baking soda feels like it's not abrasive at all, but it actually is. And so that would be another way. You could certainly test it and see how quickly it gets that paint off, because grinding it would take forever. And even using a stripper would take, if it was just a set of steps, you'd probably have more options, but this is a large area. And so I agree with Danny. I think either power sanding or soda blasting this off.
Okay. And in our defense, we did not paint the porch.
I'm sure you did not.
You bought it with a painter. That's right.
Yes, yeah.
Well, it's a fair amount of work, but you'll be able to tell very quickly which is the best way to go. And actually, the citrus cleaner is a great idea because of it being a little more environmentally friendly. And that may end up being a little bit of all of these processes. Try that. See how it lifts the paint. And you might just be able to scrape some of it off and then a little bit of sanding before you apply your concrete stain.
Super. Super. We'll try that. Or, another option is you guys could come and help us with it.
Oh, here it comes. I knew that was coming.
We're in the part of Arkansas. We have two golf courses in our area. Then you could go down just past Little Rock and dig for diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
So, there's lots here that could, to attract you to come to Arkansas.
Catherine, it's funny that you mentioned that about the diamonds. That has been a dream of my wife forever, and and we're actually going there in about a month. We'll be let's see, what's it called? Diamond Crater State Park, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And we haven't made it there yet, but we're gonna go soon. So if you find the big one, it's mine.
Yeah, and if nobody's ever heard of that, Google Diamond Crater State Park. It is a phenomenal place that people do find big diamonds just by digging around in the ground. So I'm going to get my wife some knee pads and a little bitty shovel, and I'm going to grab a few newspapers, and we're going to have a heck of a time there. So.
We'll have a great time. I think you'll love it.
Well, good, Catherine. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, and hope you have a great weekend, and best of luck on your project.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, absolutely. You know, we've gotten some great response off of mentioning the metalroofing.com website, you know, because so many people have questions about that. And the Metal Roofing Alliance is a fantastic, very unbiased organization that gives you the straight scoop on metal roofing. It tells you about the energy efficiency. It tells you about how to choose the right roof. It also shows you through their visualizer how you can download a picture of your home and then import the different types of metal roofing. And there's a lot more available than you can imagine. And you can put that on your visualization of your home and see exactly what it'll look like. Takes all the guesswork out of it. It also will tell you how you can contact a good, capable, and qualified installer in your area to install it. So you need to drop by there, metalroofing.com, and you'll see immediately the wealth of information that's waiting on you there, because that is one of the big questions that we get all the time. Right now, let's shift over to my buddy Joe Truini for this hour's Simple Solution.
All right, Danny, next time you need to water newly planted grass seed or maybe a newly planted tree or flower or shrub, and you don't have a sprinkler, you have a few options, right? You can go out and buy one, borrow one, or with this simple solution, you can make one from an empty soda bottle. All you do is drill 3 or 4 holes in a straight line, 1/8-inch diameter holes along the side of the plastic bottle, then wrap some Teflon tape around the bottle threads. Take off the cap, of course, and wrap them around the threads. Then screw on. At a hardware store you can buy, or home center, you can buy a female-to-female hose connector. So what you do is you attach the female-to-female connector to the water bottle, and then you attach a garden hose to the other end of the connector. And now, of course, you hook it up to the house, and you set this bottle wherever you need to spray water, and turn the water on, open up the spigot, and you can water. You can move it around very easily. It's small enough, it fits into tight spaces. And again, this is just when you want to isolate watering one little spot. And there's a video, if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions and search for, I think it might just be called improvised lawn sprinkler, you'll see how well this works. And it sprayed quite a bit of water. We actually had to turn down the pressure a little bit because we didn't want it going up over the shrub, but right onto the shrub.
Well, that's a great idea, too, if you're doing some planting, some new trees, new shrubs, whatever that you're,
right.
You're going to have to really concentrate that watering, irrigation. Great way to do it. Another great simple solution from my buddy Joe Truini, and you can see over 550 more of them right now at todayshomeowner.com/simplesolution. Now it's time for our podcast question of the week. We'd love to get a question from you. We make it very simple. All you have to do is go by todayshomeowner.com/podcast. That's what Paul from Mississippi did. Said, "Hi, Danny. My wife and I are building a new home, and I'm acting as the general contractor. I was planning to use spray foam insulation, but after talking to several termite bonding companies, I was surprised that most were hesitant to cover homes with spray foam. Some flatly refused the coverage. Now, why is that? I can't imagine that termites would eat foam insulation. What other options do I have?" Well, boy, this has been a controversy
for a
number of years. And I can tell you, I really explored this real carefully, Paul, because when I built my new home, I was, a big fan of the advantages of having spray foam. So I talked to several termite companies, and a couple of them said no, but the others said we just have to make sure that we don't get ahead of their treatment. So I'd shared with this to you before, Joe, about the extreme measures they took, because prior to pouring the concrete slab, they pumped in hundreds of gallons of chemicals all in the footings and all around the perimeter. Then we poured the concrete. Then we framed. And prior to putting drywall or insulation in, they came back and then they sprayed a clear treatment on the studs themselves, the bottom 4 feet, all the way around the perimeter of the house. Then we finished the house. Then they came back after the landscaping was done and put the Centricon system in around the perimeter, which serves as kind of baiting stations to draw termites there, and then it kills them. So an extreme measure, but with that, they covered all of my my house with full coverage for termites. But Joe, maybe step back and explain Paul's question here about why are they hesitant.
Well, termites don't actually eat foam insulation, but they can chew through it, and that's part of the problem. If they chew through it, of course they can get to the wood, and that's sort of the issue, right? I mean, how do you, if you have fiberglass or rock wool insulation, you need to inspect at some point inspect the wood framing. You just pull the insulation down. But how do you do that with spray foam? Well, you can't. So that's the issue. And plus, not to mention if there's water damage or something like that, you won't see it. So that's really the main concern. And in some southern states, they've modified the building code. I don't know about Mississippi where Paul lives, but I think where Danny lives in Alabama, they modified the building code in some jurisdictions that require something called a termite inspection strip, which is installed above and below the top of the foundation wall or the slab. Because the areas they're most concerned with, of course, are the mud sill, the band joist, the ends of the floor joist, the wood members that are closest to the ground. But that's basically the issue, is that if you spray foam in there, how do you inspect the wood if there's damage? Because they could be in there and you'd never know it. And so that's kind of the issue. And it is a state-by-state issue, maybe even town-by-town. So Paul's in Jackson, Mississippi. He's going to have to talk to one of the building inspectors there and see what they're recommending, what they're seeing used on homes.
Yeah, this is really a pretty big issue when you think about it, because the foam insulation industry, it's really, you would not believe how low my power bills are as a result of a lot of things, but primarily having a really weathertight, really insulated envelope home. And so it does make for a very good from that standpoint, but you just have to balance between these issues. And I think, as Joe said, talk to the local building officials and then really talk to a number of companies that cover the termite bonding and so forth, and you'll find somebody that you can work with, because otherwise the foam industry would just go away, and it's too big and too advantageous for it to go away. So I think you'll find a good solution in that, but it's certainly working well at my house, and I'm in a pretty termite prone area, no problems whatsoever. Hey, we really appreciate you taking some time to listen to our Today's Homeowner podcast. And again, we always say it, go ahead and send us a question or a comment that you may have at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lifford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for taking some time and listening to this Today's Homeowner podcast.